Hello, welcome to Misadventures, a Gloomhaven podcast brought to you by Game Republic Radio. This episode contains spoilers for scenario number 63 and scenario number 68. This episode also contains spoilers for class number 8, class number 12, class number 13, and class number 16. Please enjoy responsibly. So there we were, trying to survive the onslaught from this dessert that Garrett made for this week. It was intense. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Misadventures. It's good to have you back with us once again. We'll kick things off as we always do, kind of go around the table and introduce everyone. My name is Casey, and I am playing Sherlock Stones, Elementalist.
I'm Garrett, and I am playing Herd Nerfer, the Scoundrel.
This is Skip. I'm playing Maytal, the Quattro Soothsinger.
And I'm Steve. I'm playing as the Quartermaster, Brittany.
So we start off the evening. We actually kind of just do some side quest stuff most of the evening. We start things off by going to the magma pits, and I think we just went there so people would hope I would shut up about it, because we've had the magma pits unlocked since like the second play session.
You guys, Casey's been begging us to go to the magma pits.
It's like, been a while.
It's been the one thing he's wanted to do in the game more than anything else.
I just mentioned it as an option every week, because it's an option every week and we never do it. But now we're doing it.
I thought at the beginning we ran into this one and then we finally said, okay, I'm done with the skeletons or whatever we were fighting over and over. And we're like, let's just not do this one. I thought that's why we didn't go here.
I don't know. I know the reason I did initially want to go here back when I was the brute, because I thought we might find some demons here, which yeah, we do. I was needing like sun demons at the time or something, though. However, the funny thing is,
there's another reason Casey wanted this one, guys.
Mm-hmm. please inform them of what that reason is. I would love to hear it.
Because much like your brute, your elementalist is racist against vermlings and wants to kill them.
He is. And that's why I was glad we came here, but I had no clue there were going to be vermlings here.
Uh-huh.
It really isn't the kind of place you'd expect to find them. They usually hang out in sewers and shady parts of town.
It's way too hot here for vermlings, but they're here.
Not like they wear that many clothes.
I only need to kill four of them, and then my elementalist retires. So this is like a surprise retirement party for the elementalist. Let's dive on into it. We got Vermling Scouts here. We also have Inox Guards and Inox Archers, which I just want to say, it's good to see the Vermling and the Inox working together for once. I don't know what they're doing here, but Hellscape is really just bringing them together. It's good to see. There's also Flame Demons.
Maybe our party was just the exception.
Probably not.
Maybe out in the wild, they just get along all the time.
they make a heck of a duo. You know, you got the Inox for muscle, the Vermlings go around stealing things. It all works out.
Yeah, they stole a lot of my life in this one.
Yeah. So it's a three room setup and you just got to kind of kill them all. And so we start, there's just the first room is lots and lots of Vermlings with a bunch of Inox guards and archers in the back. So the Vermlings do a good job of kind of clogging things up while the archers take pot shots, right?
And Tots knew you wanted the Vermlings, so we just kind of jumped past them.
Now, you see, what you did there is we knew you wanted the Vermlings, so we didn't kill them. I just want everyone to remember that, because that might come up in a future episode. It just might.
It probably won't. I don't know what he's talking about. No. So they kind of left some Vermlings for me, especially because there's like four of them that were normal, and I kind of just kill normal things when I want to. So that worked out pretty well.
Yeah,
I did have to put in more effort. Okay, so actually what screwed us here, I forgot about this. What screwed us here is you guys jumped past the Vermlings because you're good buddies, and then all the Vermlings did target two attacks.
Yeah. Yeah, that one sucked a lot.
Yeah. Whoops. Yeah. We
got it from the archers as well.
Oh, yeah, it was a double target two attack, and it just made this room so much worse than it had to have been.
Yeah, that chewed through some cards, and Brittany was pretty much useless the rest of the round because she was recovering from that.
Yeah, and I believe I actually even had to break up. I was killing Vermilines, and I had another Vermiline I needed to kill, but I had to like shift my attention to a couple of the Ionox just to take some pressure off the front end of things.
Yeah,
because things were getting out of hand quickly. We should also mention Skip's character is not in on this one. Skip was running late this evening, so we were playing this one without him. So we're just playing a three-man group, which actually meant there was only there's five Vermilion instead of
six.
Yeah,
sound like you guys could have used like a healing song or something.
Yeah, a little
right
bit.
Off this yeah. point. Definitely retaliate.
Oh, retaliate would have like, just killed all the Vermilions.
Nice.
But yeah, we do end up, you know, after a couple rounds of plans adjusting and us just trying to take some pressure away, Sherlock was able to finish off the Vermilion. Brittany and Herd were able to finish off the Ionox, and then that was enough Vermilion for Sherlock. This is Sherlock's final go. That was enough for him to retire.
He almost just left. Like, he almost just left Brittany. Be like, I got my shit, I'm out. We're like, dude, just finish. Just finish the mission.
Finish strong. And I did. Herd kicks in the next door, at which we've got more Ionox and three of these flame demons and a whole lot of hot coals.
Yeah.
But those hot coals were useful. Because somebody we know has a doomed compass.
Yeah, yes. I do. I should have worn my fancy boots. I have the boots that give me healing when walking on. Yeah.
Well, why would you think to use those in the magma pits?
Did I already have those, or did I pick those up here?
No, you picked them up here.
That's right.
So,
what been I was wondering why I wouldn't have used them. That's right.
Magma.
Okay, so in other surprising news, the scoundrel finds a chest to loot later on in this scenario.
Weird.
Spoilers.
This room, we used the doom compass. I think we did a couple pushes onto hot coals as well.
Yep.
And so the Ionox weren't that big of a deal, but flame demons are jerks just because they're flame demons, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Kind of keep you at distance, and they got that nasty, nasty retaliate at range. And we ended up finishing them off. At this point, we'd had enough time to kind of recover from room one. And so we were decently enough set in health again that we were able to, and they were only normals because there's only three of us. So that kind of eased some pressure too. I think we had a couple, I finished a couple of them off with my kill normals ability. I got that back.
Yep.
It sucks for me because like all of my ranged attacks are range three, and that's what their retaliate distance is. You know, I can't get far enough away.
These guys, you had a few more options earlier on when they hadn't leveled up. I think the retaliate range is a little bit shorter, but now, I mean, we're rolling with level five bad guys, and it starts to add up.
Yeah, it shows. It sucks.
But, you know, we finished the room without... that room was much easier than room one. So, you know, we managed to make it through. And then the final room... again, there's one normal guard, two normal archers, a row of hot coals, and then a normal and an elite flame demon, and then treasure in the back.
And Brittany's just limping around the lava from the previous room. Like, I'm not doing jack in this room to help you guys.
No.
As I said, I'm just north of useless in the scenario.
But one of the benefits of this scenario is travel was pretty short. Like, we got bogged down in each room, but it really didn't take us that many turns to get through to this last room, which meant both Herd and Sherlock had a bunch of lost cards to burn with big tops on them. So like, I think we both got in there and did some really hard hits.
Yeah.
Early on.
It was an irritating scenario, but it definitely wasn't too bad. We had some unlucky monster draws, but it was a good fight.
Yeah. We came in and hit hard. We took out those archers really fast, which took a lot of pressure off. And then, you know, we kind of just tried to hit the sun demons or the flame demons as hard as possible. So even though they were retaliating, it wasn't, you know, they only retaliated a couple times before we got a kill in on them. and then just kind of how to guard to finish up. And the coals are there. We kind of use to our advantage. So not too bad all in all. A pretty good way to start the evening. And a decent way to see Sherlock off into the sunset there. So
How long did you play Sherlock? It didn't seem like he was like what like level
two
was
or three
he?
Sessions.
I did not play him as long as Etu, certainly. But he's been around for, I'd have to go back and check, but I mean he stuck around for a while.
Okay.
Let's see.
You know here. What? I'm on it. I got this.
Okay. I was there at 15. Let's go back to session 12. Session 12 was, all right, so somewhere between, it was after 14. I came in at 14.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow.
So 14 through, what are we on here? 20?
20?
Yeah, that's more than I thought it was. Sessions.
Me too.
Yeah. It just means I was Etu for 13, right? So
yep.
Twice as long. But I had a good run with him. I actually really, really enjoyed playing him.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have to get his little engine running, right? You've got to kind of balance his elements.
Which isn't too bad. It's like a single turn and you can get going.
Yeah, it's not too bad, but it does. There's a little bit of kind of planning ahead, and you want to definitely stay in the back, but then you need to be close enough to use your abilities. I kind of like the little juggling act he had, and I love the damage he could deal out.
Yeah, and Brittany had a couple cards. I was able to make wind as well as sun, which was helpful at times for you as well.
Yeah, especially the sun, because that was one I could really use, but I didn't always generate it. But his challenge unlocked the Lightning Bolt class, which I covered in the spoiler notes at the beginning. And so that unlocked the Berserker for me, which I will be playing because I loved Etu so much as a Inox tank character. And this is another Inox tank character, very different play style. But
yeah, but you do a really good job of playing it.
I'm glad you hear that. This first scenario is rough. This first scenario is going to be rough with Zara.
But, yeah, it's how it goes because it's a mid session. You're learning the character in the scenario. There's like there's no pre-planning or decision making based on like a week of looking the character over like we've done before.
Like, knew nothing about this character, and in 30 minutes I've got a character built with like up to level 4.
Yeah.
So I had a few things. And I guess like before I dive into that, how about we hop over to what's cooking, and then we can come back and kind of prep for this next one.
So this week I was making stacked entree crepes with like a spicy pork filling.
Mm-hmm.
And all these are just crepes that I use like a cookie cutter to cut in circles and then used as a ring mold to do like a layer of crepe and then the pork filling and then crepe. And I think I had shredded Gruyere as well on there.
Yeah, it was good.
It was kind of amazing.
Really good. Really the only reason Steve makes these is so he can serve people sex.
Yeah, because the abbreviation for stacked entree crepes is SECs. And so everybody came to my place and had sex, and they enjoyed it.
Yeah. They were actually fantastic. It definitely had like a shepherd's pie kind of feel to it, which I was not expecting from the crepe. But it worked really well.
And then
the best sex I've had.
I was overly stuffed from where I came from, which was eating barbecue all day.
And you still had sex in my house.
And I still had it, and it was fantastic. I couldn't stop eating.
And then Tots tries to kill us.
Yeah.
I have this dessert I make because I think it's funny because it's absurd. And every time I make it, I swear it's the last time. But I think this really was the last time. I think I'm done. I'm going to try to retire it. It's just a simple bread pudding. You know, there's nothing too crazy about it. So I don't know if there's anything else we need to say.
Yeah.
It involves zero bread and zero pudding.
So it's a pretty simple recipe. You get 2 dozen glazed donuts. And some powdered sugar and some raisins and some fruit cocktail and some rum and some butter. You know, you just kind of make it all happy together.
Can you give me some measurements on some of these things? Like how much? Yeah.
All right,
you said 2 dozen donuts. So like how much?
2 dozen donuts and a can of the fruit cocktail with the syrup. Dump that in there. You don't want to lose the sugar.
Okay.
And then like a box of raisins. Mix it all together with a couple eggs. Throw that in the oven. Then all you're going to need to make your sauce.
Yeah.
Now for your sauce, you're going to want to get a stick of butter.
Okay.
A pound of confectioner's sugar.
Okay.
And a couple inches of rum.
Inches.
Straight up pound of sugar.
You just keep adding the rum until it's not a solid block anymore.
And like when you say inches, it's like the whole dish that the bread put in, the 24 donuts are baking in. Like you fill that thing up an inch and a half.
No, inches from the bottle.
Which, by the way, guys, like not this isn't a cooked sauce. This is little more than he mixed them together.
Yes.
And then poured them over the bread pudding.
You do it over a low heat so separates. That all of the alcohol is retained. Yeah.
Yeah, I can attest to that.
And then soaks into the bread pudding. So that as you're eating the donuts, you're like taking these donut rum shots. It's kind of like a Jello shot that's even more unhealthy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was difficult to speak at times because the rum would come up off my tongue and burn my nostrils.
Yeah, it was. It doesn't taste good. There's no part of it that's fun except for making it and watching people's faces.
And you didn't serve us like a tiny little thing either. You're like, by the way, here's a notebook sized piece of bread pudding. Eat it.
Yeah, I've done the math on this before, and it's somewhere in the neighborhood of like 800 or 900 calories for a relatively small serving. It's not terribly healthy.
So yeah, that was our attempted murder for the evening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know what? Everyone had a sugar high for the first half of the next scenario before everyone crashed. But there was...
I guess I can also add to my list of excuses. I created the character right after eating this.
Yeah
there you go. pretty sure I was a little buzzed.
Yeah. So yeah, we're moving on to a scenario called the Toxic Moor, which I was another side scenario, but the nice thing about this one is it opens up the retirement path for Skip's character once we choose to explore that. So, you know, it was a nice one to kind of go ahead and do. Some issues I ran into with Zara early on that you'll kind of see playing out here. So she's a tank. Well, yes, but which is fine, right? Because she's a tank, right? So, like... Uh-huh. She's not going to be dealing this much damage as Sherlock, certainly. But the thing I was running into here really was I came in at what, level 4, I think? Four or five. I came in at 4 or 5.
Should have been 5 or 6, I thought. It's prosperity level, right?
Prosperity level, yeah. What's our prosperity level? Anyway, I came in.
It's like 6 right now.
Is it 6 right now? I think it was 5 when I came in, though.
Maybe.
Anyway, I think it came in at level 5.
No, wait, because you did your solo scenario after that, didn't you?
I did my solo scenario at level 6. Okay, yeah, so I did come in at level 6.
Yep.
Okay, whatever.
Suck it.
came in at level 6, which...
You can have your traps.
I've got a decent number of hit points, but our rogue's level 9, right? And so he's already got more hit... She's already got just as many hit points as me, I think.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the way the Berserker works... And it, like kind of the, at least the way I was building her for the first time, she has lots of abilities that get better when she's at half health or lower. And to do that, you know, she really needs to tank and take damage. But as you'll see, the scoundrel just kind of takes off, and like there are very little opportunities for me to tank in this scenario. It was a lot of me trying to just keep up with people and fighting things that weren't necessarily doing a lot of damage to me. And it definitely took me a while to find a groove with this character. And once I got home and sat down with the character, like total rebuild of the cards and stuff for the next time. But
yeah,
that's all right. It's a learning experience. And just hop in and give it a go.
It's also a Maggie Summer scenario. So like you're cutting your teeth on a tricky scenario.
Oh, that was another thing. That's another thing. All right. So it's a Maggie Summers, and Steve has a rule about Maggie Summer scenarios.
Oh, that's right. We started that this time.
Yeah. And that is, you play it on easy. So we went down a scenario level just to get through it, which trivializes the encounter a bit, right? Which also less need for me to tank, I guess.
Yeah. It was fun for
still
me.
Still didn't help me kill anything.
To be fair, I've modified my Matt G. Summers rule, but we'll get into that next scenario.
Okay. that being said, Matt G. Summers, this one was okay. It was fine.
There's nothing like... He's growing on you.
I'm just
that's
like,
the
there's
highest
nothing...
praise.
He wasn't trying to do anything cute here. It's just a scenario with some annoying water, and that's fine because you can move around it.
Well, no.
There's a quirky...
He had the tree still.
He did, but that, like, whatever. It wasn't like... It was a mild inconvenience at worst, right?
Well, yeah, because you didn't have to do anything. Me and Tots were doing all the work.
Hey, that's about right.
No, but I mean, like, this tree had, what, 17 health or something?
Yeah.
And it was going to take 2 damage a turn, which kind of forced our pace a little bit.
It did.
But we'll get into that.
Yeah. So the first room actually is freaking huge. It's 3 tiles worth of stuff large. Yep. It has rending drakes. It's got black imps. It's got giant vipers. It's got living corpses. It's got lots and lots and lots of water. And a rending drake, an elite rending drake, starts off in our face.
Which was his mistake, in all honesty. Like, that's just a dumb place for an enemy to be.
It is, but it kind of slows us down, lets everything move up on us, and there's very limited routes to get around unless you're moving through water.
Yep.
So it's a little bit of a slog unless you have rocket boots, which a couple of you do. I didn't have any boots starting the scenario, so that kind of slowed it down some. But anyway, let's jump into this first.
Just a quick note on that while we're starting. Special rules require that we all started with poison in this scenario, except for Tots.
That's true. But we don't care because Maytal can heal us.
Yeah, I can heal you, but all my songs do not affect me. So,
hey, man, you're selfless, and it's not lost on me.
Well, the nice thing about it, whether we played it right or not, I don't know, because my one battle card was to trigger a trap. You know, hey, you know, I jumped on the water that, that supposedly trap damaged me. Yeah.
Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah, the water was poisoned water, so it acted like a poison trap if you entered into it. And then if you're already poisoned, it treated it like a damaged trap.
It just sucked.
Yeah.
Yeah. So avoid the water. We start off with this raining drake. Maytal's popping a healing song. To my character's benefit, like, Zara does just get right in there and start fighting this thing. Like, that's all she wants to do. So she's getting in there. She gets a good hit on it, but then her just kind of kills it and moves on. Somebody does. I don't know. It wasn't me. Which is fine. I mean, like, I don't think I'm coming out of the swinging it. One shot in an elite or anything.
Right.
And you were talking about the spacing in this room too. It's a larger room, and the enemies are spaced out in such a way that if we let them, they would just kind of trickle in one at a time, and we'd probably be able to take them out like that. But that would also stretch out the amount of time before we get in to protect the tree that we're trying to protect.
Yes. So we take care of this rending drake pretty quick, and then Herd, I think, just starts to take, like, there's a black imp. He goes and stabs that.
I'm jumping up on the next group.
Yeah, you're jumping up on the next group. Meanwhile, I had a multi attacks set up, and then both the things I was going to hit died.
Yeah.
So then I went and got in a fight with a rending drake, and then
I thought you lost, like, out on movement or something at some point because you were stuck behind us a little bit.
Yeah, I got stuck, I lost an attack. I managed to get to a rending drake, but I wanted to get in a better position for him because I was kind of getting blocked up by some other stuff.
Yeah.
I start hitting the rending drake, and I should have finished him off at least, right? But then I pulled, like, a -1 and a -2 on my attacks or something, and he's still not dead, and everybody's laughing at me. It's just the whole thing.
You had some rough draws on that.
I do end up killing it eventually, but by the time I kill it, everybody's gone.
Like, to be fair, you were asking a lot of questions that night.
I was asking a lot of questions.
But everything kept responding, meaning you didn't kill anything.
Yeah. I did end up killing one of those drakes, I'm pretty sure. There was a couple of drakes there. Then we got into the really annoying thing because I kept going to get things and then have it lined up where I'm going to land the killing blow on it, and then it goes on like a 5 and heals itself and shields for 4.
Yep. Or one of us kills it for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which, to make, like, at some point, I'm just about to get a kill, and Brittany comes rocket booting back to just kill it right before I go.
We were in the second room. I was like 8 tiles away, and this thing's got like 2 health left, and Skip already called dibs on like a black imp.
Yeah.
And I was like, hold on a sec. And then I just like range attacked it. I was like, that's how we kill things in the party poopers.
Zara. There was a little bit of rubbing his face in every single kill the entire night. Just a little bit.
It's a very, very light hazing ritual that our group does.
But yeah, so I guess like basically ineptitude's taking place in room one, but the room one doesn't matter because we just need to go kill things in room two.
Yeah,
and get the tree safe.
Yeah, the trick to this is once we have room two open, as soon as the drakes are dead, it stops taking damage.
Yeah, there's other monsters in there, but it's the drakes we had to get cleared out.
And we cleared them out.
Yeah, there was three drakes. There were three drakes in there. As well as some vipers and some imps.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't we think my healing song would actually heal the tree too, and we kind of decided against that because the timing mechanism didn't work out or something?
It said it can be healed like any normal ally once it's revealed. So, but it didn't have a turn, right? Yeah.
So I think I ended up just turning off the heal song because you guys were wrecking. Well, you two were wrecking
everything. Hey, Zara got a kill, I think.
No, she did because I went to the last room. I finally made it to the last room right before the end. And did it like a lost card on a normal Viper who had like two hit points left and got a kill.
I was real proud of you.
Yeah, me too. But
I don't blame you. It seemed like
you guys had a pretty well-crafted plan for dealing with room two. I was a little distracted. I don't really know what it was, but things went off without a hitch.
It was pretty smooth. We just kind of split around, you know, the room was circular with the tree in the middle and killed off the drakes and then just worked our way back through killing everything else. It was not a bad room because, you know, we were playing it on easy mode. So it was just a nice little kill fest.
And I don't fault you for the trouble, like learning this new character. Cause I had to do that with both Loquacious James and Brittany.
Yeah. I also misread a card at one point. I thought I was going to put in my deck. There's a card that's like deal damage equal to your current health total, which I have like 20 hit points at this point. And then I thought it said, and then reduce your health by one. But then upon further reading, it says reduce your health to one. I was a little less enthusiastic about that.
Is that the one that you deal the difference?
I have two. There's one that it's just your current health, and then you go to one hit point. The other is you deal the difference, your max health and your current health.
Just play those back to back, man. It'd be huge.
Yep,
that's true.
Except they're both. I think the difference one's a really slow card. So
you just don't get hit.
It's both uppers.
Yeah, they're both uppers.
All right, then get that wish earring thing that Skip has.
Yeah. We play the bottom.
Oh no!
Yeah.
Never mind. That plan's stupid. Don't do that.
Yeah. Now I could, if I wanted to, I could do the attack for 20, take my health to one. Next turn, play a thing where the next four sources of damage that would kill me don't, and then I have another turn to do the third loss, and then hit for like 20 again, and then I could do a fourth loss and heal myself back up to full, and then I would be great and have no cards left. But two things would be super dead,
and you'd be killing about as many things as me and Herd do.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway,
you'll get
Zara will come more to her own. Well, I would say next week, but next week's all about Brittany. But the week after that, I feel like Zara really hits her stride. So.
Yeah, man. She finds her feet, footing, sea legs. There it is.
There we go. So anyway, yeah, more adventures to come with that character. I'm going to miss Sherlock. I think everybody misses. Like, I think we had a point next time. It's like, oh man, I kind of miss Sherlock.
But. He was pretty dope, man. Like. He worked real well in a lot of different situations.
Yeah, he did.
It really gave her Apple workout too.
Yeah.
With the sometimes elements,
sometimes you just got to move on and try new things. That's what we're doing.
Nice.
And by that point, a lot of us felt like our internal organs weren't working properly because of all the sugar, and we basically just kind of called it there.
Yeah.
So... I do, between this week and next week, I go ahead and do the solo scenario for Zara. And I also complete it on the first try. So I felt like I did a rework of the deck, was able to complete it on the first try. So that made me feel pretty good. More importantly, that got me some XP. And that also got me an item that I had no interest in using, but I got to sell and then buy an item I did have interest in using. So come better equipped next time as well.
Whoop.
So yeah, thanks for joining us, guys, and we will see you again next week.
And as always, you can follow us on Twitter at GPub Radio. Our website is misadventurespodcast.com. And we're on Patreon at patreon.com/gamerpublicradio, where you can get a certain tier will give you the recipes of what we cook. You too can put yourself in a diabetic coma for just $5 a month. Think of the children.
And they don't have to. You already told them the recipe.
They didn't give them all the finger numbers. Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to Misadventures, a Gloomhaven podcast brought to you by Gamer Public Radio. Please join us every Friday for new episodes at misadventurespodcast.com or find us on your podcast application of choice. Music for this podcast is provided by Kevin McLeod. For more of Kevin's work, please check out incompetech.com. See you next time.